In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Christ is among us. Okay, so not to cause you too much anxiety, but this most important announcement must be heralded. Christmas is only 6 months away. More precisely, 183 days and a few hours, a few seconds left. Now that's not my announcement. That's rather what the nativity of John the Baptist is telling us today. Christmas, the nativity of our Lord, is 6 months away. So while we are in the middle of summer, the light of June, these days, the longest days of the entire year, and while we're lathering ourselves with that SPF 40% or 40 sunscreen, today's solemnity, the nativity of John the Baptist, is pointing you and me to that distant star of winter. The church celebrates in a liturgical year only 3 birthdays. Jesus the Christ, the Theotokos, and John the Baptist. And actually, among the highest ranked feasts of the saints, since the earliest days of the church, going back to some of the earliest records, some of the earliest manuscripts, believe it or not, it was not the Mother of God. Things like the Dormition and the Conception of St. Anne, those are rather later developments, all coming from the East. However, in the earliest liturgical records, today's solemnity, the nativity of the forerunner, and that of the holy apostles Peter and Paul this coming Tuesday, actually are older feast days than even the Blessed Mother. So for the Melchites, we'll be having our Divine Liturgy for the Holy Apostles Peter and Paul on Tuesday night. The Ruthenians will have it on Monday night. So do mark your calendar and make every effort to come, because these are some of the most ancient feasts of the church. In fact, Peter and Paul is one of the, I don't know if it's one of the great feasts. Don't quote me on that one. In a way, the liturgy accurately follows the events of the Bible. On the one hand, while the Nativity of Mary was indeed the most profound event in salvation history, and in fact in human history, we have to note it was a rather quiet event. Nobody really knew about it. Nobody heard about it, except a few shepherd men out on the pasture land, and eventually some wise men, some magi came. Other than that, not a lot of commotion about it, not a lot of heralding, not a lot of noise about it. It happened very quietly. The nativity of John the Baptist, however, on the other hand, stirred a ruckus throughout the entire hill country of Judah. Even more so, the nativity of John was in every way, as the entire life of St. John was a prep pointing to Christ. And this nativity is pointing to the nativity of Christ himself. Why? Because Christ is the inauguration of the kingdom. St. John, the forerunner, had one purpose in his life, and it was to point to Christ. He was to point to his cousin. 6 months after the angel Gabriel announced to the priest Zechariah that his barren wife, Elizabeth, would conceive, that same archangel announced to this Virgin Mary that she was to conceive in her womb the Son of God. And then 3 months after the Annunciation, St. John, the forerunner, is born. He's born in some town up in the Judean hill country. And 6 months later, Christ himself was born in another city in the land of Judah called Bethlehem. The Nativity of John the Baptist is the first joy. We call it the first joy sent down by Almighty God to the human race. because it was the first act of actually beginning to deliver his people, the human race, from the power of the devil, from the power of sin, and from the power of eternal death. So yes, you have all these other births taking place in the Old Testament of all, like Moses and Abraham and Isaiah and Gideon and all these other prophets or these judges. And yes, they were announced too in many cases. However, they were not the promise of the end of the reign of the devil, of the end of the reign of sin, or the end of the reign of death itself. But John the Baptist, at the beginning of the New Testament, is the announcement, really, that now it's all about to come crashing down for the devil and all the effects that were brought into this world by sin. The event of John's nativity begins the preparation of the entire human race, but yes, first to the Israelite people, to the Hebrew people, of preparing to meet, to encounter the God, man himself. Blessed, quote, blessed be the God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people. And you, John, shall be called the prophet of the Most High. For you're going to go before the Lord, and you're going to prepare the way. Those are the words that the priest Zechariah, the father of St. John, proclaimed his tongue was finally loosened. Those the first words he proclaimed when he was once again given the gift of speech. This priest of the Old Testament, proclaimed the good news to all the land of Judah. And that news caused a stir in all those living in the region. And they marveled at the supernatural occurrences that they were witnessing before their very eyes. And the people asked themselves, what then shall this child be? And while John the forerunner was not the Messiah, his very birth, his nativity, caused people to begin to ask the important questions. At the time of the precursor's birth, there was already a great expectation of some kind of Savior coming. The Jewish people were waiting for that Savior. John the forerunner, too, had that expectation. Even while he was in the womb of his own mother Elizabeth. Because when Mary comes to greet her cousin Elizabeth, who's 6 months pregnant, what does John do? He leaps with joy. He can't contain himself. Now, the date of John's birth is yet another act of preparation. The date's not an accident. John is born exactly at the midpoint of the year. Yes, it's 6 months before Christ is born, but what is June 24th? What's June 21st to June 24th are the longest days of the entire year. The sun shines the longest on these days. And now as June 24th comes to pass, tomorrow and the next day, what's going to happen? The days are all going to start getting shorter. Whereas at the birth of Christ on December 25th, what happens? It's the darkest time of the year. And right about the time of Christ's birth, what happens? The days all start getting longer, brighter. So we're moving from the summer solstice now, and we're going to head into the winter solstice. And yet nature, in the birth of Christ, even nature is pointing out this divine reality that John said, I am going to have to decrease. I come to point to Christ, and then I'm going to decrease so that he may increase. And so in a way, we can say that John the Baptist is that morning star. That morning star each morning that indicates that the sun is about to rise in the east. So today's liturgical solemnity, a feast day, does indeed in every way point to Christmas. Because St. John lived only for one purpose, to point out the Lamb of God. And that's why, now it's not on this, but if you were to, many icons, if they're long enough, they'll have another panel, and you always will see John the Baptist. The icon of John the Baptist, John the Forerunner, if you look closely, whether it's at the baptism of John, all of them, right there, you'll see there. You go up and look, anytime you see John the Forerunner, what is he always doing? His finger is always pointing to Christ. He's pointing to the one who makes us righteous. He's pointing to the one who is the kingdom. So as the church today again announces, rejoices at the presence of this privileged forerunner, she's asking us to take to heart his mission and to keep our hearts also, our fingers, our eyes, our minds pointing to Christ. And with hope, the church prays that just as the holy forerunner restored the gift of speech to his own father, may also this same holy saint give us, the church, the gift of speech to proclaim faithfully and always the only way of salvation, Jesus the Christ. Happy feast day. Christ is among us.